The sermon text is that portion of John 11 which was just read. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the glory and power which you revealed in the raising of Lazarus. We pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds at this time, that we can appropriate the wisdom and the encouragement of this word. Amen. Oh, our secular world knows a lot about killing. Our violent crime statistics and war history prove that. Know something about dying, too, a little. Introducing a lot of courses in colleges and even in high schools on death and dying. I'm not too confident that they know much about it, though, because they don't seem to even know what department to put it in. But we don't know much about how to get out of the grave. And Jesus teaches us about that here in this text, revealing the glory of God. First of all, in the very word Lazarus means God help. There are a couple dimensions here. The first is this help of God, the power of God, the glory of God. The second is Bethany, where sickness unto death strikes. And Bethany actually means literally house or home of affliction, describing the human need side. So you have the glory of God, God helped in the meaning of the word Lazarus on one side. Then you have the human need on the other side in the term Bethany. And the people who witnessed this resurrection of Lazarus changed the name of their town from Bethany, which meant home of affliction, to El Lazaria, the village of Lazarus. Now, there are several steps on our way home to the heaven which this revelation of resurrection points us. And the first is that Jesus is on call. He calls home. He calls down to this planet, which is our home for a number of experiences and a number of years. He calls to us, making a God available that is personal. As Pascal said, the God of the philosophers is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not an unavailable God, but he's personally available. He's not, as Jesus said, the God of the dead, but of the living. And we can call out to him, and he calls out to us. He's available personally in Jesus, as Jesus is available to those people in Bethany who are in deep grief now. They know where he is in Perea, where he's healing the sick and where he's teaching, and they send for Jesus. And we learn something first there, to send for Jesus when death and grief strike home. And of course, occasionally it does strike home. We go through that. I know I often call home. And I say, did anybody call or come? And by that I mean, as I think pastors and physicians and others in these kind of jobs where we try to help others in need do. Did anybody have any trouble? Do they need any help? I'm available. And so in this account of God's intense revelation of his glory and power and love, he is calling home to us. And we call out to him. That phone rings. I can recall when we had arrived home. My son's also a pastor. And we were both back in the house. And the phone rang and he got there first to answer it. And he was conversing. And then I came to the phone too, and he looked up to me, and he had tears in his eyes. Mommy's brother, Maynard, died. Oh, no, I said. This young farmer died? I couldn't believe it. I was like the disciples at the time of the death of Lazarus. Oh, he'll awake. Are there some details that could give us comfort here? Oh, no. The heavy farm sprayer fell on him. He suffocated. Maynard is dead. Jesus said to the disciples, Lazarus is dead. And then he comes close to us. Jesus comes close to us. He identifies with this sorrow that we feel as my son and I would go into the living room and weep and pray, knowing that Jesus could be present with us there to comfort us. Jesus is the physician who makes house calls, and that's the second dimension or step on our way home. He calls on these grieving people, and Martha and Mary and all of those who are in sorrow in the home in Bethany, and he counsels with them. He listens. That's a good first step in counseling. He listens to Martha when she implies in her first sentence a kind of complaint, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." You know, I was thinking, what does my wife think now? I am a pastor with this power of the Word of God. What can I do to bring its power and glory to our family when death strikes home? And so he counsels with Martha, and he says, "He will rise again." "I know he will rise again in the last day," she says. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live." "Do you believe this?" "Yes," she said. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." So you have both the need and the answer in that counseling session. But more than that, you have that reaching of Jesus in communicating with the Father in his prayer. "Father, you hear me. I know that." And that's important too, an important lesson in this text, that we can call out to God when he's always available, calling down to us, as when the phone rang in that surgeon's office in New York. Normally, the secretary answered the phone, took the calls. In this case, she says, "They want to speak to you." He came to the phone. "What's the matter?" he said. "This is your brother. Come home." "What is it?" the surgeon asked. "Our mother is dying. Come home quickly." This famous surgeon had his own plane. He flew all over the world performing specialized operations. He had his pilot fly him back to northern Canada to the farm home. He came into the kitchen and walked through it, and there saw his brother praying, reminding him how he had drifted away from his practice of his faith in his prayers. He went into the bedroom. Rapid examination of his mother showed him that immediate surgery was necessary. He had his instruments brought. But the stress of this situation was so intense, he panicked, and his hands started to shake. And he knew that no surgeon could perform this operation in that condition. He left the room, went out into the apple orchard, fell on his knees, and prayed to God. And God heard his prayer. God's power and love came down and touched this man's life, that he could have composure and rise and go back to the bedroom to the side of his mother, perform the surgery, and save her life. So Jesus calls up to the Father, teaching us that we can call to him regardless how much dread and stress we have when death and grief strike home. And then the third thing that takes place here is that we are called home. That's another step on our way home. He calls out to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." That glory and power of God is even in that calling forth of Lazarus. And he comes forth, and he says, "Unbind him, free him of this bondage of the grave," which could be the kind of basis of St. Paul, who in the 8th chapter of Romans said that we have not the bondage to decay, but the glorious liberty of the children of God. "You believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus had taught. "Let not your hearts be troubled. He knew the troubled heart. He wept here. He felt these sorrows. He was greatly troubled. We have about four or five different Greek words trying to get that point across, that he was confronting here with the glorious power of God, the enemy, death. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the graves will hear that voice of God and will come forth. The early Christians risked their lives to witness of this call home. They had great confidence in spite of that dread that all of us feel when we face death, in spite of the grief of the separation when the family is separated, as these two sisters felt, or as Jesus felt when Lazarus died. That in spite of that, because of this glory that Jesus revealed in his death and resurrection too, not only in these raisings of people from the dead, but they could interpret this whole scene of death as being called home. And until that time when we're finally called home, there's another meaning to call. And we're grateful for the Reformation this week and this season. We remember it. It kept this biblical record alive. It centered all of its teachings in the justification saving doctrine. That intense, vivid revelation of God's available power for us. And we too continue to have another meaning of what the Reformers called call. The first was that we're elected. Beirut, we're called, we're saved. And then that is the motivation for the vocatio, the call to witness, to serve. So we do that. I immediately went to the widow of my brother-in-law and her two young children, and went to the funeral home to pick the casket. And here I saw a subtle, nonverbal communication of an effort to witness. We didn't even speak about it. We went down the line of caskets, and there was one with folded hands, an image imprinted on it, and wheat symbolizing the harvest of the final home kingdom. We looked at each other and nodded. Yes, that's the one we want. That even the casket in the procession to the grave could witness of our faith, of God calling down to us, of our calling up to God. And I recall even calling on an aged professor colleague in the seminary when he was in his last breath of life. He's lying on his side with his hands folded like this. His wife was standing by the bedside. I knelt down. I put my hands around his. And he had been a pastor many years, and he knew what this ritual was that I was speaking, preparing people for death. Lord, have mercy upon me. Christ, have mercy upon me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Our Father who art in heaven, he still had enough breath left to pray the Our Father with me. And later I could comfort his son, who was a chaplain in the military services, saying, your father and I went through that preparation for death together. And this week we remember with great gratitude Martin Luther, who not only kept this vivid biblical record alive for the church and centered it in his preaching, but also practiced it in his own life. When death struck home in a Luther home, his 12-year-old Lainey was sick unto death. He took her in his arms, and they talked about this faith, and she assured him that she was going home to her Father in heaven. Later he wrote, that after she had died in his arms, of the great grief that he experienced at that time, but now that he was sure that she shined like the stars of heaven, he said. Yes, the lights are on in our Father's home, waiting for us. Amen.